Hey, thanks so much for listening to this message. My name is Jason, and I'm one of the ministers here at the Madison Church of Christ. It's our hope and prayer that the teaching you hear today will bless your life and draw you closer to God. If you're ever in the Madison area, we'd love for you to stop by and study the Bible with us on Sundays at 5 p.m. or Wednesdays at 7 p.m. If you have questions about the Bible or want to know more about the Madison Church, you can find us online at madisonchurch.org. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast, as well as our sermons podcast, Madison Church of Christ Sermons. Thanks again for stopping by. I hope this study is a blessing to you.
So for those who are new, our class, we've been talking about Exodus chapter 34, verses 6 and 7. Specifically in the light that this is how God introduced himself to Moses. If we remember in chapter 33, Moses came down from Mount Sinai, saw the Israelites worshiping the golden calf, threw the stone tablets down, they broke. And then he prayed to God for the people. And so God introduces himself. We talk about how important introductions are. So I told Barry when he came in tonight, so last quarter, Barry taught a wonderful class on Psalms. I told him, well, guess what we're going to be talking about tonight? Psalms. And so if you were in Barry's class, you may hear a little bit of what we covered in that class, but we are looking at Psalms tonight. So for our folks who are on live stream, there is index cards going around this class. If you could, maybe find something to jot something down. We're going to do an exercise at the end of class, and that way you'll have something there as well. So we're going to do an exercise. My wife, I've mentioned, is an English teacher, and so she's constantly talking about the words in the English language and things like that. So we're going to have a little exercise. You're going to see a sentence. Actually, you're going to see two or three sentences, and the same word fits in the blank of each of these sentences. Okay? So it's kind of like that game where they'll give you a hint, they'll give you another hint. Okay. So the first one is, the bully was being blank to his classmates. Any thoughts?
Nice.
All right, so let's go to the next one. I know I said that, but I didn't blank it. Mean, right? And the last one was, she wanted to know the average age of the people at the conference, so she calculated the mean, right? So that one word mean fits in all of these three sentences. Okay, now that you've got it, we'll go to the next one. All right. The bathroom hadn't been cleaned in weeks, and it looked really mean. Not mean. Not nice. A good measure of the economy is the blank domestic product. Gross, right? So that word fits in both those sentences. All right, and then the last one. The blank got up to 60 miles per hour. Okay. It's close to bedtime, so he started to blank down. Okay. And then answers wind or wine, right? So what you see is you have this word that fits in those sentences. So let's go back to this introduction that God gave of himself, right? The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's grandchildren, and to the third and fourth generation. What we're going to talk about tonight is, where does this fit in what you're currently going through today? And just like those words fit in those sentences above, this verse, this theme, is for whatever you're going through in life. If things are good and going good, This goes with that thought. If you're having a tough time, if things are not going so well and you're struggling, then this verse has meaning. If you've just come through a time where you've been through the rough of the storm and the storms of life. This has meaning. And so that's why we went to the Psalms. So Barry in his class talked about how all the Psalms can be broken up into three categories. The first category are Psalms of orientation. So what that means is if you're oriented to something, what does that mean? If you have a compass and it's oriented to north, what's going on? It points north and it really doesn't waver, right? And so there are Psalms of orientation that describes those times in our life where things are going good. We don't necessarily have any troubles going on. Guys, the wife's happy, and then the children are happy. And so it are really those times when everything is going well. So what you see in those Psalms is that they praise God, for things like creation, God's rule over the earth, but it's really Psalms of praise. A good example is Psalms 8, if you want to make a note and maybe read that this week. Then you have Psalms of disorientation. What happens when you're disoriented? Right? You maybe don't know exactly which way is up, which way you're going. And those are when things are not going well in your life. There could be you're struggling with sin, maybe health, maybe your employment, but things just aren't going smoothly, whether from outside forces or when you have sin in your life, or maybe some of those times we feel like God has just maybe doesn't think about the situation that I'm going through. And a good one for that one is Psalms 13. And then you have Psalms of new orientation. These are those times in your life when the storm comes and then things are finally calm. And what happens is often you can't go back to the way it was before the storm. And so now you have a new orientation. You have a new, we call oftentimes having a new outlook on life. But it's when you've gone through those things and you can look back at that time and praise God to getting you through those times, and you're thankful for the better days that are ahead. And that is Psalms, we see in Psalms 27. And so what we're going to do tonight is we're going to go back and we're going to read a couple of Psalms. Y'all are going to tell me whether they're Psalms of orientation, disorientation, or new orientation. And we're going to look at how that theme, how that introduction of God that we read about in Exodus, how it kind of fits with these periods of life. All right, so let's go to Psalms 145. I exalt you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. I will bless you every day. I will praise your name forever and ever. The Lord is great and is highly praised. His greatness is unsearchable. One generation will declare your works to the next and will proclaim your mighty acts. I will speak of your splendor and glorious majesty and your wondrous works. They will proclaim the power of your awe-inspiring acts, and I will declare your greatness. They will give a testimony of your great goodness and will joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and great in faithful love. The Lord is good to everyone. His compassions rest on all he has made. All you have made will thank you, Lord. The faithful will bless you. They will speak of the glory of your kingdom and will declare your might, informing all people of your mighty acts and of their glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Your rule is for all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and gracious in all his actions. The Lord helps all who fall. He raises up all who are oppressed. All eyes look to you, and you give them food at the proper time. you open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all his acts. The Lord is near all who call out to him, all who call out to him with integrity. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears the cries for help and saves them. The Lord guards all those who love him, but he destroys all the wicked. My mouth will declare the Lord's praise. Let every living thing bless his name forever and ever. All right, so we read that. So what do you think? What category of Psalms does this seem to fit in? Orientation, right? It's full of generic praise, but it doesn't necessarily name any specific acts, right? And so what we see is we get the impression that right now life is good. He acknowledges God is in control when things are good. And so we see that going on. If you'll notice, it begins with a general call to praise. The psalmist writes about the great deeds of the Lord being told from parents to children. That reminds us of Psalms 34, where it talks about fathers to children and to the generations. What do they tell their children? They tell their children the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. Almost word for word for part of that introduction that God gives to himself. And so for all those reasons, all creation's going to praise. And it keeps on going that God's trustworthy, he's faithful, and that every creature is to praise the Lord's name forever. So let's first talk about this first part. So going back to what we read in Exodus 34, what are some of the attributes that's quite apparent in this particular psalm? We've already mentioned a couple, but what attributes that we see in Exodus do we also see repeated in Psalms? Slow to anger, gracious, compassionate. We see those things. So why do you think in this stage of life, when we're oriented, things are going well, why do you think those things are important? Or how are they helpful when you're going through those times?
Well, the slow to anger part is an encouragement that if I mess up, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah, so for those on live stream, the slow to anger, it's an encouragement part so that even if we mess up, that God is gracious and compassionate. What else do you think you see in those when your things are good that you see when you're going through those times? Don't you see the love of God? Notice if we go back to Exodus, it says he has love for thousands and thousands, right? And we see those things. Those things are what, when we have those stages in our life where it's kind of smooth sailing, we have to praise God during those times.
Yeah, you have to make sure that you stay grateful and remind yourself that it's all coming from God, that he's the loving one who is taking care of you in the best times. Because it can be real easy otherwise to think, you know, look at all the stuff I've done. It's good because I made it good.
Yeah. So it's a great reminder, right, of the faithfulness to give the glory to God because things are going good, and it's not of our own things that we're in the situation, but rather they're the blessings that we receive.
Mike, makes me think of, sorry to bring up the class, but I think of the merciful and gracious because you remember that we talked about life is oriented and then change comes and it's always a surprise. Right, we're not planning when life is oriented for it to become disoriented. And that's why the merciful and gracious are important to me, because what often changes our lives from orientation is somebody. It's important to remember to be merciful and be gracious when that change happens, toward whoever brings that change. And that's not easy to do.
And I think that's a great point. When those storms happen upon us, it's not, oftentimes we're not ready for it. We're not expecting it. We're not sitting there waiting for it to come, right? One of the Psalms that I actually, when I preached my mom's funeral, one of the Psalms I used talked about that God secured us during the storm. But the Hebrew word that's used is the idea of something being tied down very tightly. And so I use the example when Cole was little, we would go fishing and I had a boat and his job was to run the strap across the fishing rods. And so one time a storm popped up on Wheeler and we're going back. He forgot to do his job. And about halfway back to the boat ramp, I saw two or three rods just fly off because they weren't secure. And so we need to remember that those Psalms of orientation, that is what secures us for when there is a storm, right? When we see those storms. All right, let's go to Psalms 86. Listen, Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Protect my life, for I am faithful. You are my God. Save your servant who trusts in you. Be gracious to me, Lord, for I call to you all day long. Bring joy to your servant's life, because I appeal to you, Lord. For you, Lord, are kind and ready to forgive, abounding in faithful love to all who call on you. Lord, hear my prayer. Listen to my plea for mercy. I call on you in the day of my distress, for you will answer me. Lord, there is no one like you among the gods, and there are no works like yours. All the nations you have made will come and bow down before you, Lord, and will honor your name. For you are great and perform wonders. You alone are God. Teach me your way, Lord, and I will live by your truth. Give me an undivided mind to fear your name. I will praise you with all my heart, Lord my God, and will honor your name forever. For your faithful love for me is great, and you rescue my life from the depths of Sheol. God, arrogant people have attacked me. A gang of ruthless men intend to kill me. They do not let you guide them, but you, Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in faithful love and truth. Turn to me and be gracious to me. Give your strength to your servant. Save the son of your female servant. Show me a sign of your goodness. My enemies will see and be put to shame because you, Lord, have helped and comforted me. So what type of psalm? What category would you put that in? Definitely disoriented. Listen to him when he calls out. You know, when we look at the Old Testament, I'm always amazed when we look at the Old Testament and we look at psalms like this or prayers that the Old Testament people made. Listen to what he says in verse 1. Listen, Lord, and answer me. Right? When we read, oftentimes when we read prayers in the Old Testament or read these scriptures, that person is almost demanding that God hear him, right? We talk about we should approach the throne boldly, but they listen to that tone that they use. And so the Psalms begin with this address, Lord, and then it usually begins or it usually has a petition in it, right? Hear me, guard my life, save your servant, bring joy to your servant. So when we read those, we can definitely tell that this is a time of disorientation, that they're going through a tough time and they're pleading to God. And then if you'll notice, the psalmist moves to a confession of trust. You know, it's an element that's not necessarily always found when you read these lament psalms. Oftentimes you'll read that lament and it's not till the end when they express their trust and their faithfulness. But then notice verse 5, right? Verse 5 says, "You, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call on you." What do we read in Exodus 34, right? That I am a forgiving and gracious God, full of love for thousands. Then this is followed by another petition. "Hear my prayer, listen to my cry." The psalmist, then we move to all those petitions, and then he switches his tone a little bit to where now we're doing praise, or he's doing praise, because he praises God for the rule over the earth, and he asks God to teach him so that he may praise. Another key element, right, is that complaint. Arrogant men, mean men, are attacking him. Ruthless people are trying to do that. But once again, look what he says in verse 15, going back to what we read in Exodus 34. "But you, Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness." And then notice he talks, "Give me a sign." So what function, if we go back and we think about Exodus 34, what function, or what is that theme? How does that theme play with what we're reading in Psalms? Who is the one being that can provide comfort? God, right? And so as we think about those, when we're in those difficult times, and we're asking why, we're asking when it's going to be over, we're asking all those difficult questions, the only comfort that we have truly is that faithfulness and that trust in God that we read about in Exodus 34, right? Because remember, we talked about it probably the first week about how when you had the Israelites, you know, they'd come to God and then they'd rebel. And then they'd come to God and then they rebel. And then they come to God and then they rebel. And we asked the question, well, isn't God just a doormat to where he, you know, they just, he doesn't do the punishment? But we talked about how that is the character of God. That if you'll notice in this psalm, they're being asked to punish those wicked men. That there is that character of God, those attributes that he says, that's more than just that introduction to himself. He's defining his character, right? Why do you think in that first psalm, things are going good, they're smooth sailing, and it's easy to praise, right? Why do you think is that first praise, is that lip service when things are going bad and difficult? Is it really easy for us to pray? I mean, how does this kind of work, right? It was easy to think about praise in the first psalm we read because everything is going good. Here things are difficult. So how can we praise during difficult times?
We have the right attitude toward God. That almost should be our initial response. You think about the first type of psalm, that's the kind of thing that gets us ready for something, for when things are bad. And then when things are bad, we immediately turn to God for help. The same thing that we've said before, now we just have to put it into practice.
Well, in general life, I think everybody goes through times of good things happening to them. And there are times when bad things happen to you. And so there's always a thing of you thank God for when there's good times, but then you rely on God when there's bad times, because everybody goes through ups and downs and bad times, good times, and all that kind of stuff. So if you're not, if you think you're going to have an easy life all the time, you're delusional. And so I think you realize that you thank God for good times because it's really good. But when there are bad times, you need to ask God for help, but still praise him because he will come and rescue you and come and take care of you. Now, it may not be the way we think about it, but he will eventually, in the end, take care of us.
That's an excellent point. So I got my scuba certification when I was a senior in high school. And that was a long time ago. So my first job out of college was for the Navy. And so they required us to get the next level of certification where we had to do, anybody scouts? Remember in scouts, you would do the map orientation course where you had to figure out where you were. Well, they do the same thing for us, but it really just included a compass, right? So you wore a compass on your wrist. So we all cheated when the lights were on and it was daylight and we're supposed to watch the compass to do orientation, but we could see where we're going. So we had the compass and we looked at it, but we really just swam to where we could see. Well, then they turned all the lights off. And so the only way to get from point A to point B was to focus on the compass to keep you oriented, right? And so I think oftentimes we have to realize that the scriptures have given us our compass, and we need to celebrate and rejoice in that. But oftentimes we are somebody else's compass, right? Sometimes people look at us when they know we're going through difficult times to see how we behave and how we deal with those times. And oftentimes, the way they see us dealing with that, it's an encouragement to them. And there are times when I know in my life, there's been times where I haven't been able to necessarily see the cross. Who could see the cross? And so I followed them. And I left my faith and put my faith in God during those particular times. And so when we read that Psalms and we look at Exodus 34, we see God's character and we know that he has that character and we can put our faith in that. What do you think? What are some of the attributes that's named in that main verse that is helpful to the person going through this stage of life when they're disoriented? What are some of the attributes that God describes himself in Exodus that would apply here?
Mike, I like the fact that in verse 7 of 34, it starts with the word keeping steadfast love for thousands. It's there. It's always there. It's us that are not, you know, seeing it all the time, but it's always there.
I think that word, I hadn't really didn't notice that before. I focused on the love for thousands, but the idea of keeping means it's always there and it's never empty, right? It's always there. What else? What other ones encourage us during those times? For me, it's compassionate. I think of all the things and what I see people do to other people. Oftentimes I look around, I don't see a lot of compassion, but the thought that I've messed up, that I'm struggling, and that he is a compassionate God, that I follow a compassionate God. I read a book, I just finished it. It's a great book. It's a very, you know, small book, so it's easy for me to read. I got through it in like 30 minutes. But it's called The Coffee Bean. And so in that book, there's a student who's struggling because he's overwhelmed by classes, he's overwhelmed by tests, he plays football and he's overwhelmed with that, but he's friends with the science teacher. So the science teacher said, what happens when you put a carrot in boiling water? And the young man goes, well, it gets soft. And then he goes, what happens when you put an egg in boiling water? And the young man goes, well, it gets hard. He goes, what happens when you put coffee beans in boiling water? Not long after, that boiling water is coffee. And so he said life is boiling water. There are times when it's uncomfortable. There are times when it hurts. There are times when it's painful. And you have a choice. You can either be a carrot and turn soft. You can be an egg and grow hard and uncompassionate. Or you can be a coffee bean and you can influence that surrounding of what you're going through. And then he gave, now my wife wouldn't like this because she always tells me to either have 3 or 5 points. That's it. He gave 110 ways to be a coffee bean. So, but the one that stood out to me is smile. Have you ever noticed when you're out in public, if you just smile to someone, it's very difficult not to smile back, right? And so I look at the faithfulness of God. I look at going through these things, and I realize we can be the coffee bean. I mean, because we have faith, we have trust, we know that God is in control. All right, let's go to Psalms 103. My soul bless the Lord, and all that is within me bless His holy name. My soul bless the Lord, and do not forget all His benefits. He forgives all your iniquity. He heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from the pit. He crowns you with faithful love and compassion. He satisfies you with good things. Your youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord executes acts of righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He revealed His ways to Moses, His deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in faithful love. He will not always accuse us or be angry forever. He has not dealt with us as our sins deserve or repaid us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His faithful love toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as He removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He knows that we are made of, for He knows what we are made of, remembering that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He blooms like a flower in the field. The wind passes over it. It vanishes, and its place is no longer known. But from eternity to eternity, the Lord's faithful love is toward those who fear Him, and His righteousness toward the grandchildren of those who keep His covenant, who remembers to observe all His precepts. The Lord has established His throne in heaven, and His kingdom rules over all. When you give it to them, they gather. Bless the Lord, all His angels of great strength, who do His word, obedient to His command. Bless the Lord, all His armies, His servants who do His will. Bless the Lord, all His works, in all the places where He rules. My soul, bless the Lord. Okay, so this is going to be an easy question. So what category of Psalms is this? We only got one left, right? Can as we read that Psalms, can you tell that the psalmist has gone through something, right? That first psalm of orientation, he was just praising. He wasn't mentioning any type of acts or anything like that. But just notice the tone that we have in 103. Notice where it says in verse 9, He will not always accuse us or be angry forever. He has not dealt with us as our sins deserve or repaid us according to our iniquities. Doesn't it sound like he's just been through something where either he was doing iniquities or whatever, and he says God has not let that, affect our relationship? When you read the tone, you can just see that he's been through something, and he's come out on the other side. He starts with this praise, and then he names specific things for which God is praiseworthy. And there's some specific words or disorientations for which God has provided this new orientation. Whatever he was going through, whatever storm he was going through, he's come back on the other side, and he's realized God's faithfulness. So when we read that psalm, what in that psalm really shows that God is indeed gracious and compassionate? What do we read in that psalm where we really can understand his compassion and his graciousness? Imagine that. Will not hold your iniquities against you. You know, Amy has a task for me, and she's reminded me every day for the last 4 months that I still hadn't got it done. But you know, the thing is, he sees that, right? That evidently, whatever the psalmist has done, he had guilt, he felt bad, he was probably beating himself up, but he realizes that God does not hold that against him. Those are the things that we think about when we continue with the praise. Let's get to the application, right? Before the next bell rings. I want you to think about where you are right now in life. I want you to take the card I gave you, and nobody's going to see it but you. On that card, I want you to think and answer truthfully, right now in your life, are you in a stage of orientation? Are things going good? Things are going well? Everything's just clicking along real smoothly? Are you in a stage where you're disoriented? Is there something that you're struggling with? Is it, you know, it might be health, it might be employment, there may be a sin or something that you're specifically struggling with? Or have you just come out on the other side and you're going through this new orientation? So what I want you to do is I want you to write where you are in life and just put it someplace in the Bible as a reminder. And so let's talk about it a little bit. If you're in that orientation stage, here's the verse. When you say your prayers, when you say your daily prayer, and you're in that stage of orientation, include some of these attributes that you're in. Praise God that for that right now, everything's going smooth. You're thankful for that, and you appreciate Him, and it's such a blessing. Okay, so if you wrote that you're in that life stage of orientation, we're going to take a minute, and we're going to say a prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all the many blessings that you've given us. Father, we know that you are indeed a merciful and gracious God. Father, we thank you for your love so great that you sent your Son that he might die and take our sins on the cross. Father, we know as we go through our day that we can depend on you and trust on you in you, and that you are faithful to us. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now when we talk about this disorientation, when things aren't going well, what are those attributes that bring great comfort to you? Forgiveness, mercy, love, forgiving iniquity, keeping steadfast love for thousands. Those are the things that are important, that will help you if you're struggling. Remember those things. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Fathers, we come to you. We know that we have brothers and sisters here who are struggling. They may be struggling with health, employment. Father, they may be concerned about children, grandchildren. Father, they may be having some sin in their lives, some iniquity that they just can't seem to control or get over. Father, we know that when we're going through times like this, that you'll never leave us, that your love, that you keep your love for us. We know that you are gracious. We know that you are merciful, and we know you're forgiving. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And then this last one is maybe you're just coming out of that difficult time. Let that difficult time in Exodus 34 reinforce God's faithfulness and that he keeps his promises and that that's his character as we look through that. So in closing, Exodus 34, 6 and 7 is for all circumstances. There's not a circumstance in life that that doesn't apply. And you'll hear me say this so many times in the class, and I know, Barry, you haven't been here, but isn't the God, aren't those attributes that are described about God, sometimes do you think they contradict our perception of God of the Old Testament? Everybody talks about God of the Old Testament as a vengeful God and an angry God. But time and time again, we have people saying that he is a loving, merciful, forgiving God. And so God's at work at all, Ed said it best. God's working during the good times, and God is working during the bad times. And this verse can mean different things to you as you go through those different stages of life. For the good times, it's a statement of praise. For the bad times, it's a faithful God, call to God, or a statement of hope. But at all times, it is a statement of trust. For next week, I want you to start memorizing 34 verses 6 and 7. And then I want you to read Joel chapter 2 verses 1 through 17. And that'll be what we'll go over next week.